Blog Talk Radio.
But here we go, another morning looking at this beautiful book, The Duties of Parents. Now we are on number seven, duty number seven. And in this little book that we have, it's on page 13. And what we find out is the duty today has to do with means of grace. Let me read it for you. Train them to habits of diligence and regularity about public means of grace. Now, let's take a look at the end of that, the means of grace. What are means of grace? Well, the means are the ways in which God gives his grace, that love and that favor that we talked about a few days back. And in our studies here, we have seen that two of the ways that we have learned about that God will send his grace to us is through his holy word, the Bible, and when we pray. Yesterday we talked about teaching our children to pray. Well, today we find out that we must train our children to the habit of diligence, being diligent, staying right with it, not giving up, and regularity, making it a regular habit, to go to the public means of grace. Now, public means of grace are those that we would do in public, ways that we accept and receive the grace of the Lord in public. And what we see in this very first paragraph on page 13, D. Ryle is talking here about church. He begins the paragraph with telling what we must do is tell our children about the duty. It is their duty and their privilege to be able to go to the house of God, to go to church, the house of God, and join in the prayers there of the whole congregation. It's a public means of grace. And then he goes on in this paragraph to add three more things that we should be telling the children. Tell them that wherever the Lord's people are gathered together, there the Lord Jesus is present in a very special manner. Those who are absent must expect that, like the Apostle Thomas, remember the doubting Thomas? You miss your blessing if you're not there. Then he says, tell them of the importance of hearing the word preached. When we go to church, we are blessed to hear our pastor preach the word right from the Bible for us explain it, elaborate on it, and through that preaching, the Lord will send his love and grace to your heart. And then remember that you must tell them, the number four, tell them in this first big paragraph, how the Apostle Paul enjoined us, he warned us not to forsake that assembling of ourselves together. We should never forsake or cast aside the opportunity to come together in the church with other Christians, as is the manner of some. And we must exhort one another, teach one another, and stir one another up to it. And so much more as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord's return. So that first paragraph there really is an exhortation to us from J.C. Ryle on the importance and how it is our duty to teach our children to go to church. Now, in the second paragraph, he talks about what he feels are some sad sights when you look at the church. He says, I call it a sad sight in a church when nobody comes up to the Lord's table but the elderly people. And the young men and the young women all turn away. Now, he's talking here about the sacrament, the communion table, where we take the bread and the wine in remembrance of Jesus. Now, in his day, and we see it today, it was mostly elderly people. And he feels it should be all. And then he calls it an even sadder sight when no children are to be seen in a church except those who come to the Sunday school and are obliged to attend. Let none of this guilt lie at your door. You want to be able to say, I have taught my children the duty of going to church, and they should be coming with you to church in order to establish that routine in their lives. Now, if we go over to the top of page 14, we find in that first paragraph that J.C. Ryle warns us that we should not allow them to grow up with the habit of making excuses, vain excuses for not coming to church. And he says, which maybe some of you have said in your own household, make it plain, them plainly to understand that so long as they are under your roof, can you remember your parents saying that to you? I do. As so long as you are under my roof, it is the rule of your house for everyone who is in good health and can do it to honor the Lord's house upon the Lord's day, and that you reckon the Sabbath breaker, those who don't keep the Sabbath and go to church, to be a murderer of his own soul. You're not building up your own self if you are not going to church the way the Lord expects us to. And then he says, when you get to church, in the second paragraph there on page 14, see to it that your children go with you and they sit near you when they are there. And if we go to the last line in that paragraph, we see why he suggests this. There is no security for good behavior, like that of having them under your own eye. When you take those little ones to church with you, you keep them right by your side and you train them up in the proper way to sit in the church and to receive the grace of God. You must train them and teach them how to do it. They cannot know on their own. You must train them. And then in the third paragraph, about the second line in, he reminds again, I do not like to see them coming to church by themselves, for they could get into bad company. You don't want them sitting by those whom they should not be sitting by. Keep them by you. And then he talks about not liking a young people's corner habits of inattention and irreverence there. Now, in our church, I will share with you, we have a section where our young adults do sit. Our young people all sit together, but even there, they are under the watchful eye of their teacher, their youth group leader, Miss Amy Hart. And if they begin to stray or act inattentive, she chides them. She is right on top of it. And right behind Miss Amy are a group of us parents. So we may not all be sitting as families, but we are very close together. And we are all the family, very apparent. And so what J.C. Ryle finishes up that middle paragraph with is what he likes to see and what you do see in our church at most times, our whole families sitting together, the old, the very young, side by side, men, women, and children serving God according to their households. Now, in the next small paragraph, we see that some will say this, but there are some who will say that it is useless to urge children to attend the means of grace, the ways, the public ways of receiving that grace from the Lord, which is church, because they cannot understand them. But he gives us biblical proof that we should not be listening to such a thing. Children have a large place in the church. And let's look at the bottom of page 14. Let's look at what he proves his thinking with. The first proof is he talks about the doctrine, not seeing any doctrine that says such a thing in the Old Testament. And he gives the first example with Moses. Oh, that great man, Moses, who went before Pharaoh. And we see the scriptural reference, Exodus 10:9. And what you hear Moses say, he's asking Pharaoh for the ability to take his people to worship the Lord, to have church. And look at the wordage here. Look at how he says it. We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Notice in there, the young are included. And then the second example is Joshua. When Joshua read the law, coming from Joshua 8:35, this is what he said. There was not a word which Joshua read, not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Thrice in the year, three times, all your men children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. And then J.C. Ryle takes us next into the New Testament at the top of page 15. And he finds children mentioned there as partaking in public acts of religion, just like in the Old Testament. And it is when Paul, whom we spoke of yesterday, when Paul was leaving the disciples at Tyre for the last time. Oh, it's a goodbye. It's a goodbye scene. I find it said, and here we find where, in Acts 21:5, they all brought us on our way. Now look who's included in the all. With wise children. The children were included in this goodbye till we were out of the city and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Oh, what a special goodbye right there. And then in the second paragraph, we hear tell of Samuel. Samuel, in the days of his childhood, appears to have ministered unto the Lord sometime before he really knew him. Imagine it. In quotations, it's coming from 1 Samuel 3:7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But there he was, a child, ministering unto the Lord. Now the apostles themselves do not seem to have understood all that our Lord said at the time that it was spoken. These things, even to the apostles, these things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they the things that were written of him. When they saw Jesus glorified, they remembered. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He brought to their remembrance the things that were written of him. And that comes from John 12. Now let's look at our ending warning from J.C. Ryle, that very last paragraph in section 7 on page 15. Parents, says J.C. Ryle, comfort your mind with these examples. Be not cast down because your children see not the full value of the means of grace. Now, they may not totally understand yet why you are taking them to church and encouraging diligence and duty within them. Only train them up to a habit of regular attendance. Get them there regularly. Set it before their minds as a high, holy, and solemn duty. And believe me, C. Ryle, the day will very surely likely come when they will bless you for your deed. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this encouragement that you have given us through J.C. Ryle's writings to train up our children to attend church. No matter how young they are, For Lord, as we see today, there in the house of God, they will be blessed with the love and favor of God. And when they are old, they will not depart from that way. We thank you for this teaching today, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So different than the best.